So the question is this: how do you become a healthy, lean and fit vegan, all while having fun and making it a sustainable lifestyle you enjoy living? If you want to know the secrets to losing fat effortlessly, building vegan muscle and positively impacting the people around you every single day, then this is the right podcast for you. I am Fritz Horstmann. This is the Vegan Fitness Podcast. All right, so welcome back to the Vegan Fitness Podcast, the podcast for vegans that want to lose fat, gain muscle, and fulfill their true potential, only eating plants and also leave a big impact on the planet as well. Today, we have a very special guest joining us on the show. Vasco is here with us today. Vasco is inspiring to me. You will get to know him on the show right now, of course. He's been really doing amazing mindset work in our community with our clients, and I had the idea of inviting him. But before we dive into that, man, how are you today?
I'm feeling amazing. I'm excited for this conversation, Fritz. Thank you for having me on here. And hello to the vegan community from all over the world.
Hell yeah, man. Thanks for joining me today. Where are you tuning in from, actually? I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm tuning in from Austin, Texas. What about you? Where are you coming from?
I'm in Cape Town still. Cape Town, South Africa. I've been here for the past 2 months now. So, but Austin is beautiful. I've been there twice now. And the plant-based community is amazing there. The food is amazing. And a lot of business owners, a lot of people want to like have an impact on this planet. I want to do something, I want to grow. And I have a lot of friends like and like mentors in Austin as well. So it's love the city, and we'll hopefully come back soon there. But yeah, so again, I thought about having you on the show because a lot of people don't realize that this journey is about mindset a lot, right? So when it comes to transforming your body, a lot of people think it's only about the nutrition, the training. But there's so much more to it, because our mindset really basically has an influence in all these things. But before we dive into that, we'd love to know more about you. So what got you into the whole mindset thing? Where are you from? What's your story, basically, if you don't mind sharing? And we'd love to hear more about that.
Absolutely. Yeah, Fritz. So my whole life, I've known that my purpose is to serve people and to help people. So I started off as jobs, like I worked as a lifeguard. Then I worked as a personal trainer for 10 years. And now I'm pretty much a life coach. And I have these certifications which really focus on the mind, such as neuro-linguistic programming, hypnosis, EFT, which is tapping, time technique, which is an integration of the subconscious and the conscious mind. It's like an NLP technique where we can work out past limiting beliefs and we can work out emotions like anger, sadness, fear, hurt, and guilt, which people will like live their whole life and it'll take place in their unconscious mind. So we actually have a way now to go to the past and eliminate those emotions as well as take learning lessons, because one of the main reasons that people hold on to emotions from the past is for your mind is trying to protect you. It doesn't want you to experience that again. So there's often times where those emotions might come up again and your mind is just trying to protect you, but it's not serving you now as an adult. So there's ways to eliminate that. And I love helping people with that. And my story, so I told you I worked as a personal trainer for a while. Like I really wanted to focus on improving people's confidence, improving their health. And with personal training, I was able to help people one-on-one. And then I realized, okay, I want to step up my leadership and I want to step up my game. I want to be a game changer, right? And for me, that meant working on some of my fears. So I was born in Bulgaria and then I transitioned over to the United States with my family when I was about 9.5 years old. So in the beginning, it just happened really fast. And I don't really have a huge accent, but I still had a fear of like public speaking in front of groups. And so that is one of the things that I decided to tackle. So while I was on this journey, Fritz, my whole life flipped upside down. And I ended up hurting my back really bad at the gym, to where no doctors could really help me out. Like, I saw a couple of chiropractors, physical therapists, massage therapists, and this back pain was getting like debilitating, so bad, Fritz, that I couldn't even work out. And you know, for people like you and I, working out is like one of the most important parts of the day, right? Like, it's as important as eating and sleeping. It's our ritual. Imagine if that got taken away from you. You couldn't do that anymore. It was just hell. And so that, coupled with a breakup that I was going through with my partner at that time, just put me down this like negative spiral, emotional pain and physical pain. And I found myself like being negative, like really negative for the first time in my life. So much so that I lost my why, like my ego was challenged. I couldn't work out anymore. I was losing all this weight that I worked on years to put on, and I couldn't find the answer. So I got to a point where it was pretty bad, where I was thinking like suicidal throughout the day. Like, what's the easiest way to die? And when I caught myself having those patterns in my head, I was like, okay, I've never thought like this in my life. This is pretty bad. Like, I'm mentally not in a good place. So I need to really focus on self-love. I need to focus on getting back to where I was and improving my mindset, and because something's wrong here. So I went deep into personal development. And what does that mean to me? It means forgiveness exercises. It means meditation. So I started doing all this research on meditation and trying different meditations out. But in the beginning, it was okay. I wasn't getting the best results, and sometimes I was falling asleep. Like, what about you? Like, what's your experience with meditation?
Yeah, good point. Like, I'm laughing because I was the same. Like, when I started meditation, I was doing it in the evening and I just fell asleep all the time. And I was like, yeah, I mean, that's probably how meditation is. You just fall asleep at some point, right? But then after doing it for like, I don't know, 2 months and not seeing like the benefits, I was like, okay, I probably am doing it wrong somehow. So meditation is an interesting topic. You can definitely dive into more. But yeah, that's actually an interesting point you made there, that you went to personal development, and that's what I would have asked you next. Like, a lot of people, they might want to work on themselves. They might be in like a challenging situation like you were, which is, by the way, kudos to you for going through that and coming out on top and growing from it. But a lot of people, they might not know what do I do, right? They might read a lot of books or do meditation, but they don't have a way to put mindset work into action, right? So that might be something we can touch on. But did you want to finish the story?
So absolutely. And I decided to get a certification and become a meditation teacher, so I know how it really works. And then my whole world opened up. I was able to really find out how to meditate the right way. And then on top of that, release all the stress, like play with different meditations. I even had some incredible ones where it was like this journey like given to me where we could probably talk about this in the future, but it's like people can have these meditations that are guided where you're listening to something. And sometimes there's like this gift given to you where you experience this journey and this visualization that wasn't even planned. So that was phenomenal right there too. And with that, I started really cleaning up what I was eating like a lot of tons of veggies and fruits and like healthy roots and herbs. My body started transforming. My mind started transforming through the meditation, through the plants, and then starting to stretch out a little bit here and there. And all of a sudden, I started to form this like self-love and peace. I found that peace inside of myself, and I found that love inside of myself. And the best way I could explain it was like completely the opposite. If you have depression on one side, then there's that self-love, and I found it. And when I found it, my consciousness just expanded, and I really felt it was a spiritual awakening for me. Like, I was very spiritual in the things that in my habits and my routines. And then from then on, my energy became like magnetic. So everything that I was setting out to do, it was just manifesting really quick into my life. So with like the public speaking before, when I first started, I was getting like okay results. But now after this spiritual awakening and my consciousness expanding, I was like getting quick results to the point where I joined Toastmasters, and now I was competing in like the international championships of the world. And I competed with like some of the best people in South Carolina. So I worked on that fear. I started traveling the world and going to different countries. And even though I felt so good and I found this self-love, there was two things still holding me back. One was like I was living with this limiting belief that I don't know if I can find love again. Is that going to be possible? So after doing some work on that, I was able to find my partner. And I found her in 2020. And finally, the back pain. After doing more and more research on how the mind works, how patterns work in your mind, I was able to completely rewire my mind and I fixed my back pain, because it just turned out that it was coming from fear, which was causing reduced blood flow in my back, which was happening instantaneous. And I had to switch certain ways of thinking from the past, and then that completely changed my back and my life. And so now I'm back at exercising and I'm back at living my life normally. And I want to talk about how powerful the mind is and help people with mindset.
Hell yeah. I love that. Yeah, it's something that I'm very passionate about as well. That's something that for me, I didn't go through like this crazy transformation you had, like this mindset transformation. But I did definitely, I was always the type of guy when I started my fitness journey, trying to achieve my fitness goals. I was just like the logical guy, like focusing on, okay, the macros, the workouts, right? Mm-hmm. But at some point, I did realize there's like a whole different aspect to this that is not like physical, that's like your mind, right? And yes, everything that comes with that. So you can have the best workout plan in the world. You can have the best nutrition plan in the world. If you don't feel aligned with that, if you don't feel like, if you don't love yourself, you don't accept yourself, it's very hard to actually grow from this fitness journey, right? So that's the next thing I want to touch on, since you are like the mindset coach in the Game Changer Academy, and you are helping our clients to evolve their mindset. How do you think the mind is connected to this journey, to this fitness journey? Why is it so important to evolve it? And why can't we just, count macros and do the workouts and then that's it? Like, why do you think it's important to work on your mindset on this journey?
Yeah, so the mindset is the key. It's a huge part of that journey. And in the beginning, when somebody's starting and they haven't exercised in maybe years, maybe their whole life, and they're changing all these habits, there might be a lot of doubts and a lot of limiting beliefs where they're not sure if they can actually do it. And so I like to explain it best by, we have like two voices in our head. One is called the trap self. So this is the part of you that brings you down, that tells you, I can't do this. You're not worth it. You're not good enough. Okay, you might lose a couple of pounds, but then you're going to gain it right back because that's what you always do. Oh, you're going to be just like your family. It's your genetics. It's all these excuses. And then you might give it power. And guess what happens? When you give it power, you're sending signals to your unconscious mind that it needs to follow that direction. And then on the other hand, we got the heroic self, that voice that believes in you, that sees that greatest version of you, the higher self, where you're leading, you're living your purpose, you have the body of your dreams, you're helping others, and you're really contributing so much to mankind. That's that voice that always motivates you and believes in you. And we can give either one of these voices power at every day, depending on whatever time it is of the day. Which voice are you giving power to? So it's really important to understand that first, you can consciously catch that voice. That's the first part, is catching those thoughts and realizing, okay, this is what I'm actually thinking. That's when you kind of wake up and you're like, all right. The next part is realizing that you can change those patterns. And why would you want to change those patterns? Because a lot of those thoughts might be things that you've picked up from your family or from your friends or from where you grew up or from what you heard or from what you listened to. And at some point, it became your pattern and you decided to give it power to that trapped self. And why is that important? Because the conscious mind and the unconscious mind. What is the difference? Right now, you and I, Fritz, we're talking with our conscious mind. The conscious mind is the CEO. It's the president of us. It makes the goals, right? And it creates our identity. Identity is I am this, I am that. The unconscious mind is like all the workers. As soon as your conscious mind gives direction or a goal, then the unconscious mind will help you find that in the world. And how does that happen? With all of our senses, right? Seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, all of the senses, we go out into the world. And let's say you leave your home and you start driving or you go at an event and you start networking with people. At any given second, Fritz, there's 2.3 million pieces of information going into your mind. But if all of that went into our mind, we'd go insane. So a lot of it is filtered out. Most of it is filtered out. And what actually ends up going into our mind? 123 bits of information from all of our senses. And this information is the key. Why is this information allowed? This is the information that is related to your identity, that is related to your goals and your values in life. So if you want to, if you're saying, I am a vegan, then you're going to start looking for places where vegans go so you can get even better results, so that you can get better results. You're going to start researching veganism. You're going to start talking to people there. You're going to start listening to podcasts like this. And that's what happens. And you, your mind, your unconscious mind will help you find that in the world. So that's why it's so important to catch the thoughts that you're thinking and just realize your thoughts are creating your reality. You are right now in life because of the thoughts that you have thought before and that you're thinking now.
Well, yeah, that's very powerful. I love that. Your identity is huge. Like, you want to, as a human, you want to always fulfill that identity. So if you are a vegan, again, like you said, you're surrounding yourself with like-minded individuals. You relate everything you see to your lifestyle choice, to your identity of being plant-based, which I think also why one of the reasons why being like plant-based, actually committing yourself to this term, which many people think, yeah, why should I call myself vegan? I can eat like 95% plant-based and 5% animal products. Like, why should I restrict myself or call myself that? I think there is some value to that because it gives you like a certain identity. Like, there's no way around it. That's just you at that point. And then it makes any decision easier, right? It makes everything go through a filter, basically. Versus if you are like this and that, you're like, okay, so am I plant-based or not? Am I having this meal or not? But if you're plant-based, you're like, okay, I don't eat animal products. If I go to the grocery store, I don't think about buying animal products. So a lot of thinking time, a lot of willpower you save, actually. In my opinion, when you go to the grocery store, for example, you can just skip like, I don't know, 5 different sections because it's all animal products. You just go to right to the Whole Foods, right to the vegan products, and you're good, right? Because it's an identity that you live out. That's why I think it's the value of saying, hey, I'm 100% vegan and plant-based, because it really takes on this identity and it makes you filter and save willpower as well. Mm-hmm. So that's a nice side effect, I think, from being plant-based. But I love that you touched on that identity part and the thinking part. And that's a book I read a few weeks ago. It's called A Bug-Free Mind. I don't know if you've heard of it. But the author talks about how we have these negative thoughts, which are basically bugs in our mind, right? So they're just in there and we can't get them out. So if you want to have a bug-free mind, like, one of the ways of doing it, I didn't 100% finish the book yet, is to trying to actively control your thoughts. So he actively tells you to take like a minute every hour to check in with your thoughts and to focus on something more positive, and specifically on a situation in the past where you felt super happy and in momentum and energized. Like any situation could be when, I don't know, you won a competition, or you had like, I don't know, you met like your partner, like a moment in your life where you had like true fulfillment and happiness. And just to remember that once every hour for a minute, which is hard to do, like to focus on just that for a minute, is hard because we have so many things going on in our mind. But then that conditions your mind to focus on more positive things, because as you said, what you think about, yeah, you create basically, right? So if you think negative thoughts all day, that's what you get to experience. So that's super powerful. And that's just an example of how powerful our mind can be, specifically in a fitness journey, right? So if you get up focusing on, okay, workout will be so hard and meal prep will be so hard and all these things, it makes it really hard to actually show up and do the work versus have different thoughts around that. So you touched on self-love a lot in your personal journey, which I love that you touched on that, which I think something I'm curious about from your perspective. I think a lot of people, when they go on a fitness journey, they struggle to really love themselves in the process, right? They tell themselves, hey, I will love myself when I am there, right? When I have achieved my goal. Which again, it's not a bad thing to have goals. I think that's like a movement, like the body love movement, which I completely agree with. They should love your body, but it's always like put to an extent where people are like saying that being obese is a good thing as long as you love yourself, which is not the case, right? When it comes to health, when you are very overweight, it's just not good for your health, right? But long story short, like how do you make sure that, or what could be action steps, or what are your thoughts on like loving yourself while being on a journey where you are, I mean, you're judging yourself. You're like, okay, so I have to drop some pounds and I want to lose some fat there. I want to be on track. But how do you love yourself in the process of this journey?
Yeah. So this is very interesting because, I told you I worked as a personal trainer for a while, and now I'm working as a life coach. And in my experience, it's not just A or B. And what I mean is, it's not always focusing on the self-love. There's people where when you focus on the self-love and listening to that heroic self, it really helps you stay focused on your journey and it gets you better results. There's also people who, if they just hate themselves so much and they hate where they're at, and then they try saying these affirmations and they try to start believing in themselves, they feel like they're lying to themselves. They don't truly believe what they're saying, and they're not fully into the exercise, the tools that they're using mentally, to where they just feel guilty and like they're lying to themselves, and it makes it even worse. So there's people that are really motivated by it, and there's people that are not. There's literally people like David Goggins, right? So David Goggins was this exceptional guy in the military, and he went in the mirror when he was in high school. He went in front of the mirror and like he shaved his head. He was like, "You're like a waste. You're stupid. Like you're not in good shape." And what he told himself in the mirror, and then right after he said that in the mirror, he went and worked out. Like he created all these habits, right? So he told himself what he thought was the truth. So the thing is, what is your truth? Is really amping yourself up and listening to that heroic self, because that's what worked for me. And it sounds like that's what worked for you, is like really listening to that voice. And because if we give power to that lower self, it could really derail us on our journey. And so what worked for me? I'm one of those people where I love to be like encouraged, and I love to listen to that voice in my head because I manifest so quick and make it my reality. So if I tell myself, hey, you are good enough. I believe in you. Like, let's do this. Like, I want to see you get to the next version. I want to see you become a better leader. And then create those habits. I'm going to start getting better results. If I sit there and I start thinking about, like, okay, I'm not in good shape. I'm not eating well, blah, blah, blah. Then it's going to make me even worse. I'm going to go in these circles and I'm going to feel stuck. And in neuro-linguistic programming, in NLP, we call that living in effect. So there's two stages, living at cause or living at effect. When people are living in effect, they feel very stuck. They're living as victims. And then they're blaming their life based on like their parents, their friends, their environment. They're finding every little thing to blame for it. And that's why they keep staying stuck. But if you go to that cause, when you are living at cause, then you realize, hey, maybe I can't control my environment, but I can control how I respond to it. And you step into action. So let's say something bad happens to you where you, maybe let's say you miss one of your meals that you're supposed to eat. And all of a sudden that voice comes up. Uh-oh, like, you just missed your meal. Now, what are you going to give power to? Are you going to say, if you're living in effect, if you're living stuck as a victim, you're going to say, I'm not good enough. Like, I can't. I got this wrong, so I'm probably just going to emotionally eat and I'm going to start eating wrong for the rest of the week because I just ruined everything. You're going to the worst case scenario now and you're giving power to that lower self. Or if you're living at cause, you can say, okay, like I just messed up, but this is not the end of the world. What can I do next time so this doesn't happen again? And then this is where you start looking at your habits and all your senses around you. Like, and I talked about this with your group, with the game changers on the mindset call, is really looking at like the senses. Like, if there's something that's causing you to emotionally or binge eat, is there something like close to you that is always making you ruin your diet? Like, that's in your kitchen. Like, throw it away, get rid of it, put it far away. The people that you're around, right? So we had the people in your group change their Facebook group to the home page. Why? It's because when they feel supported by the other people that are also on this journey of eating vegan, of exercising, of mindfulness, of sharing wins, then all of a sudden, every time they go on the internet, they're reminded of that. And now they feel more supported. So there's a lot that goes into that. But there's two kinds of people. There's people that are really motivated by listening to the higher self. And then, yeah, there is people who, then if they tell themselves, I am fat, I'm not good enough, for those people, that could even be motivational. And where does it all align? It's what you make your truth, what makes you passionate, what makes you want to push for it. That's the key.
That's the key. That's a huge key. Yeah, that's why when we start on this journey with new clients or new people that want to transform, we always want to look for their why, right? Which is basically the reason behind doing all this. Like, why do you want to go on this transformation? Why do you want to do it the plant-based way? And this is North Star that you always have in the back of your mind, and that keeps you going through tough times and helps you make decisions, right? So as humans, like, on this journey, well, every day we make so many decisions every day. Like, I don't know exact number, you might know it, but like, how many decisions do we make every single day? Like, it's split decisions we make. It's crazy, right? And where we have a framework, a filter, like you said before, to make decisions through, then again, it makes it much easier. So on one side, being plant-based, on the other side, having your why. So having your why always present, it helps you make decisions, like the right decisions for you, right? The decisions that fulfill that why. So for example, when you are doing this, like this journey, like losing weight and getting shape for your family, because you want to be a role model, you want to make sure you don't get, at risk for certain diseases. So you might die earlier or stuff like that. It's a very powerful reason to do this journey. When that's always present in the back of your mind, then you are thinking twice if you want to take that cookie, like eat that cookie or not, right? You're thinking twice if you want to get off the meal plan or not. And you filter through that why, and then you are at cause, like you said. Like, you have a reason, you have a cause to work on, and something that is important to you, versus an effect where you are the cause of someone else, right? So when we are going to the grocery store, like, did you realize the grocery store is set up for you in a way to buy all the junk? Like, did you know that? Yeah. Like, they built a grocery store in a way that you buy that stuff first. Not first, but I think it was like that. When you go to the grocery store, like, the first part is always the Whole Foods, right? Because mm-hmm. there, your willpower is still at a high level. Going to the grocery store. When you get to the end of the grocery store, like, to pay, like, there's more snacks and more junk food coming your way.
Yeah.
Because your willpower is at the lowest, right? Because you had so many decisions to make. You could grab everything in your, wow, basically everything you see. And then, because your willpower is so dragged down, like, that's why at the cashier, there's always like these chewing gums and like snacks at the end, because, wow, it's the moment where you are at your lowest with your willpower, and they wanna get you, right? So the same applies for like having this food like at your eye level, instead of like having it more on the higher end of the case or lower end. So going back to the point I was making, if you go to the grocery store, you are the cause of the brands and like the big industry, right? So they want to sell the stuff. So if you don't go in there with your own cause, like with a big why, like focusing on, okay, where can I get the whole foods, protein sources, carb sources, fat sources that are healthy. If you go in there without a real plan, direction, and the why, then yeah, you are the cause of the junk food industry and the meat industry as well. And you just, lose to them, you could say.
That's a good point. I never thought about that, but now that you mention it, it makes perfect sense. I mean, it's all about like marketing, and it's all about that willpower. And people who already have issues with like emotional eating and binge eating, and then they've been grocery shopping for a while, and then they go to checkout like, oh, like, let me grab this candy bar, let me grab this. And even kids, like, you don't even think about it, but like when kids go with their parents, I remember when I was little, that was like one of my favorite parts, like, let me just wait until checkout, and then they go, let me grab this Kit Kat. And I just see so many parents like telling like their kids like, no, or like, yes, a lot of times, yes, most of the time, yes. And if they're not going to get you, they're going to get your kids. So that's really interesting that you mentioned that.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting. It's fascinating. Even like when it comes to like just the environment that you're in, right? So there's this book that I highly recommend, How to Make a Vegan World. Highly recommend this book. And basically in the book, the author talks about, I don't know the names of the authors always, but have to look it up. How to make a big impact, how to save more animal lives and save the environment. And he is very rational about it, like in the book. He's like, it does make sense. Like, we don't need the whole world to go vegan. We just need people to eat more plant-based to have a big impact. Like, less animal products will have a huge impact. And what he talks about then, like, just to attach to the story, that sometimes the way something is set up, like your environment or something is sold, like helps people make the right decision for the planet. For example, he talks about when something has a vegan label, like a product has a vegan label, people are less likely to buy it, right? Mm. So that's an interesting part. Like you would think, okay, so if it has a vegan label, more people would buy it, but actually it's the other way around. People don't want to like dabble in that. Now, that's the reason why Oreo cookies, for example, they don't have a vegan label. Like, they are vegan. Like, if you didn't know, like, Oreo cookies are plant-based. Like, they're fully vegan. There's no animal product in there, but they have no vegan label on it. And now you want to think about, okay, so is it a good thing or a bad thing, right? I think it's a good thing if we just sneakily, you could say, subconsciously, like, influence people to eat more plant-based, and they might not even know it, right? Like, what is it? matter if they know it, like Oreos are vegan or not. If they buy it, they're supporting a cause, they're supporting eating less animal products, which is great. And that's not the experiment they did with the fake meat, like Beyond Meat burgers. They put them into the meat section, like into right in between all the other like steaks and beef burgers. They put the plant-based burgers in there, and more people bought it because it's in the meat section, and they didn't necessarily put plant-based on it, and then people just grabbed it because they thought it's real meat, but actually isn't. So it's not like that. Like your environment like forms you, right? The things that you see, things that you grab and you consume, that are around you every single day, they really impact your behavior. And for example, yeah, when you're working like in a desk, like in your office, do you have a bottle of water besides you or not? Like that already will determine if you're hydrated throughout the day or not. I'm just realizing I don't have water here, so I'm like I need to grab some water. There you go, you got it. So stuff like that is also very powerful, like your environment, how it influences your behavior and your beliefs, how it drives you forward. But again, self-love, super important.
Absolutely. Yeah. And one other thing about self-love, so why is it so important? So when we're practicing self-love, when you make it a priority to pay attention to the conversation you have in your head, because that's the most important conversation. And that's where a lot of the self-love can stem from, when you start respecting yourself and you start honoring yourself and you start forgiving yourself, because a lot of people will go their whole life without forgiving someone else that hurt them, or they're either blaming themselves for situations from their past. And when you keep beating yourself up, like that's the complete opposite of self-love. Like you're living in guilt, you're living in regret, you're living maybe in jealousy, sadness, anger, fear, hurt, guilt, and all of those feelings. If you keep re-experiencing that throughout the day, it can cause anxiety. And then all those feelings are kind of like drinking poison. It really slows you down from getting to where you want to be next successfully in life, whatever success means to you, and experiencing that joy and that self-love. And why does that do that? Because a lot of those feelings, they lower the way you feel. As soon as you start experiencing those feelings, those low vibration feelings, your brain sends hormones that make you feel even worse. So now you have stress, now you have anxiety, now you have physical pain that manifests from it, and that derails you from being where you need to be. And self-love is about catching those thoughts. It's not always about ignoring them. People are like, oh, you got to be 100% positive. No, like if you have certain thoughts that are coming up, you need to realize what those patterns are and where they're coming from, and then work on them. But it's not always ideal to work on it when they come up, because you might be at work, right? You might be driving, you might be with a group of people. So that's not ideal. The most important thing is to catch them, to write it down if you can, to notice it consciously, be cognizant of what's going on, and then work on it on your own time. And when you do, that's when a lot of that self-love starts to happen, because guess what? Now you're doing something that you've been putting off for maybe years, maybe decades, and it can have a complete shift in your identity, because your identity, what we talked about, like that shapes your world. And if you're saying to yourself, I'm not worth it, I'm not good enough, I'm never going to be in shape, now you're programming your unconscious mind to make that a reality. So now you're consciously going to choose habits and make choices that are bad for your health. So we have to switch up that pattern. And when you start focusing on that love, on peace, start honoring yourself and your body, your mind, whatever it is that works for you, whatever exercises work for you at this point in your life, whatever foods, the foods change, the exercises change at different points of your life. But are you making self-care your priority? Because that's how you honor yourself. And then when you make it a priority, that self-love really starts to expand all over you. And then from my births, like this peace and tranquility. And when you're in that place of life, you are a game changer 100%. You can achieve pretty much anything that you set out to do. And why? Because you go at it and people are like, damn, like, I want to be around you more. Like, what are you doing? Like, why are you, how are you feeling like this? They're just like, you're magnetic. That's the best way I can explain it. They're attracted to your energy and they want to know more about you. So it's not even about like trying to teach a bunch of people. Now people are just coming to you naturally and you're getting what you want in life because you feel good and people can recognize that glow, that self-love. Does that make sense?
Hell yeah. Yeah. It does. Love that. We named it the Game Changer Glow, the Game Changer Glow Up, when you've been in the program for a few months and you're like people are telling our clients like, hey, you have this, wow, this glow. So we named it the Game Changer Glow Up.
Wow. There it is. Yeah. The Game Changer Glow Up. It's a thing. It's a thing. When you're taking care of yourself and you make self-care your priority and self-love, people can tell.
Yes, big time. So how do you, let's give the listeners some actionable steps to take away. What are some routines and practices you can make happen every single day that help you develop more self-love and self-acceptance as you are on this journey?
So I'll start with one of the most important ones. If you have some secrets, if you have some things that you need to work on forgiveness, and you know you need to work on forgiveness because you're living in effect, you're living in the past, you keep saying, oh, if this wouldn't have happened, I wouldn't be here, like, she did me wrong, he did me wrong, you got to stop that because that is slowing you down so much. How do you do something like that? So this is an exercise that really helped me along my journey, and it's called the forgiveness exercise. And what you do is you take a sheet of paper, you can type it up on your computer. I would suggest like a sheet of paper. And you write down 10 things that you forgive yourself for. And it starts with number one, I forgive myself for blank. Number two, I forgive myself for. It always starts with I, because now we're talking identity and it makes it the most powerful version. So you find 10 things. It could be little things. It could be big things. You know, the things that you wish somebody else would say to you in front of your face that confront you with. Like, you need to work on this. Write down those things. So after you have that list of 10, you have another list of 10 right under it. 10 things that I am proud of myself for. And once again, it starts with, I am proud of myself for blank. Right after you get 10 of those. So this part right here is the self-love part. You see that? First, we're working on stuff that we really need to confront. Then we're working on self-love after we did that. And finally, the third part, 10 things that you commit to do. Now, we're getting you to transfer that energy and we're listening to the heroic self, because it goes from your unconscious mind to your conscious mind to from the pen to the paper, and that energy goes out into the world, and now you're saying it more and more and you're imagining it. And when you do that, it's called future pacing in NLP. So now you're fully stepping into your higher self and where you want to be in life, and we're focused on the good. So once you have that list of 30, 10 things that you forgive yourself for, 10 things that you are proud of yourself for, and 10 things that you commit yourself for, you take that list, and in the morning when you wake up, it's one of the first things you do. You go to the mirror, and you have this list, and you look at yourself dead in the eyes, and you say those things truly, when with passion, and truly, like, truly say it. Don't just say, oh, like, I forgive myself for blah. You need to let that come out, like the emphasis on those things. So truly be in it 100% and be committed to this exercise. And this is game changing. This is transformative. You do this in the morning and then you do this at night. Do this for a couple of weeks and you'll kind of know. Sometimes it might take just 1 week. It might take a couple of days. But if you got something huge that is kind of holding you back and that you need to work on forgiveness for, it might take you a couple of weeks. It might take you a couple of months. We don't know how long it's going to take you, but people feel that transformation. Like me working with my clients, I give them, this is one of the things that I give them to work on. And usually within a couple of weeks, people feel completely different. They're like, oh my God, that exercise is so powerful. So that is a huge one right there. Have you heard of any like forgiveness exercises or practiced any of your own, Fritz?
No, I love that. I love that. I personally haven't actually done any forgiveness exercises. I think that's something I would love to dive into. I've done a lot of gratefulness exercises, celebration exercises, so where I acknowledge myself for what I've achieved, what I've done, and committing exercises. But yeah, the forgiveness one I like. It's very powerful, because those are the things you are holding on to, right? Your past.
Yes.
That you're holding on to, that's holding you back from creating your future. So
absolutely,
that's very powerful, man. Love that.
It's so powerful, because when you forgive, let's say somebody did you wrong really bad, somebody cheated on you, somebody hurt you. There's horrible situations, Fritz, where like people get taken advantage of, people get raped, people get killed. Like I watched this video of this woman who a murderer literally like. He killed her son, her teenage boy, and then they went to court, and it was his sentence. They sentenced him to death, and they said, like, would you like to say something? And she went in front of everyone and she said, I forgive you. And it's like the murderer literally started like bawling his eyes out and started crying, and she said, I know you probably weren't in the right place mentally, like I forgive you. And she even said, I love you. Right. So how do you say that to somebody that killed your son? And even situations where people get taken advantage of, people get raped. How do you forgive that? And you forgive for yourself. You don't forgive for the other people, because when you forgive for yourself, you are unchaining yourself from those shackles. Those shackles can keep bringing you in those patterns, which make you feel powerless and trapped. But when you truly let go and forgive, it becomes your new truth, it becomes your new identity, and that energy just completely goes away from your unconscious and conscious mind and from your body, and you can start out fresh. So there's a lot of different ways and techniques to do that, but that right there is one of the keys, is forgiveness. And then after that, start focusing on self-care, okay? Meditation, if that works for you. Reading, journaling, eating healthy food. Whatever it is, find what kind of self-care are you most attracted to in your life right now, and start making it a priority. And you'll see that glow, like you said, people will feel that glow. You can tell if somebody's like low energy, and you can tell if somebody's feeling that glow. And God, it feels so good to be in that glow, because more people want to be around it, and you truly feel great. You feel healthy. Your mind is working sharp. Your body's working sharp, and you're honoring yourself. So that's where we want. That's our, like you and I, that's our journey, is to help people mentally and to help them transform into their best version.
Oh, yeah. What a powerful story, man. Thanks for sharing that, and for sharing the exercise that everyone can do now to truly love themselves and to forgive themselves. And yeah, I mean, we could go on for like hours on this podcast. I think it's amazing, and it's something you want to do more often. So if you're listening to this and you're digging this mindset talk, these mindset rants, then you can look forward to more of these coming soon. And really appreciate you sharing your insight with us. You've been really changing the game for our game changers in the program and evolving their mindset. And we're excited to see more and to more of these mindset talks soon. Because again, mindset is huge on this journey of transformation. Maybe fat loss, muscle gain, just personal development, right? Which this podcast is about. So Vasco, mm-hmm. Thank you so much for sharing your insights today. It won't be the last time, so we'll be back soon. And let's crush this week.
Yeah, let's crush it. Thank you for having me on here, Fritz. And for anyone that listened, if you end up doing that forgiveness exercise, send Fritz or myself a message and tell us like how it's going. And if you got any questions on mindset, find me on social media and then send me a message and tell me what's going on. I would love to talk to you. But I appreciate you, Fritz, and I look forward to a lot more game-changing conversations in the future.
Woo! Let's do it, man. Let's do it. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, then make sure to leave a rating and review on iTunes so we can grow this show and help more people all over the world explore plant-based nutrition and making the switch to a plant-based diet. Really helps the show grow if you leave a rating and review. So really appreciate that. Well, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to each other soon. Yes, yes. What did you think? What an amazing episode. Again, I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, please do me a favor and subscribe to my podcast and rate it on iTunes. It's very much appreciated. We'll hear each other in the next episode. Until then, keep up the vegan vibes.